Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamental in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And man, the crypto market is squeezing and there is an absolute ton of news going on. So what we're actually going to do in this episode is run through all of the news and everything that's happening first, because we are seeing multiple TradFi companies say, hey, we want to spend not only hundreds of millions, but in fact, billions of dollars to accumulate and kind of grow the crypto space by directly purchasing more Bitcoin. Now, we want to talk about the market impact that this is going to have overall. But before we get into the meat and potatoes and explore everything that's going on, I want to welcome my great co-host over here, TiVo. So, TiVo, how are we doing?
Doing good, man. Just got back the other day from my West Coast trip. Was out there for a couple weeks. Still recording. Still getting the news out there for the people. But just wanted to let my good friend Inverted Investing know from our YouTube channel. If you haven't been there yet, make sure you check it out. The link's below. But we do look at the comments there. And last week, my room didn't have good airflow, bad air conditioning, and my camera was a little foggy. And he said, quote, your broadcast looks like you're being beamed from 1980, which I thought was very funny and accurate because it did not look that great. So shout out to Inverted Investing. I'm back in the home studio. Hope the camera looks good enough for you. But yeah, I think I did have a point to make before we kick off. This is like we've talked about it individually, is this is kind of a boring price action time and it skews maybe even quite negative because we just came off of, you know, all-time highs back in March and we haven't gotten back there and we're kind of trending down for the squeeze you were talking about. But this is the time to be here. This is the time to be educating because, you know, this is where, you know, this is where the true money is made and the decisions made that, you know, you can look back on and be like, man, I was in the trenches gaining knowledge and figuring out what moves I wanted to make during this, you know, low volatility, boring time of not great price action. So glad you're with us today, everybody, and hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people feel the same way. They're looking at the crypto market right now. They're saying, hey, the TradFi Sci has been ripping for the last 2 weeks. If it's recovering back to its highs, why isn't the crypto market if they kind of fell off the same catalyst? And we can dive into that a little bit more heavily later. But I want to go over just kind of a high level overview of the current status of the crypto market. And so what we're seeing right now is a lot of consolidation beneath almost all of the major moving averages, especially when it comes to Bitcoin. Last week, we kind of showed on the charts about how Bitcoin was consolidating beneath the 20, beneath the 50, beneath the 200-day moving average. And it was kind of stuck around 62K, and that was its primary resistance zone. And that's continued into this week as well. So we're going to look at the charts a little bit later on. But just because this is happening and just because we're in this wear you out, tear you out phase, as we like to call it over here, it doesn't mean that cryptos aren't moving. In fact, I want to give a shout out to a couple of cryptos that I have seen on a tear. A couple of the ones that I've noticed, TiVo, is things like Aave. Aave just hit new multi-month highs. That thing has been ripping. It just broke its upside range. We'll take a look at that later. I saw Helium, another one that we've actually used here in Crypt Nation and kind of put out alerts on for 2 weeks in a row. That thing is at the highest point that it's been since almost the start of this year. And then another one that we don't talk about too often over here was Tron, TRX, at the highest point that it has been since, I believe, 2021. So we can take a look at a couple of those altcoins here in a bit. But just because we're in this kind of consolidatory sideways phase of the market, it doesn't mean that altcoins aren't moving. It doesn't mean that the crypto markets aren't moving. And there's still opportunities out there, as we can see from a couple of these crypto charts, especially when it comes to the altcoin market. So lots is still going on. And a quick reminder before we begin here that all of the images, all the charts, all the graphics and articles that we're going to have on the screen, if you want to see that and you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or anything like that, you need to go over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. You're going to get all the visuals over there and you're going to be able to see everything that we are referencing on screen. And of course, you can make a bunch of great comments to us. Leave a comment in the comment section, just like TiVo kind of gave a shout out to at the beginning of the episode, whether it is something serious and related to the content, or maybe it's something funny as well. We love hearing from all of you. So that's where the crypto market's at I guess from a high level overview perspective, Bitcoin continues to kind of be the top performer. Bitcoin dominance is sky high. There are these pockets of altcoins that are making these awesome moves, which we love. And I also love the fact that the crypto market has gotten to a point where it's so mature, kind of like the stock market, where you can have some stocks going up, some stocks going down. I really see that I've noticed at least that the altcoin market has matured in a way where we're seeing the exact same thing. And yesterday was a great example of that, where cryptocurrencies were moving up. Some altcoins were up, you know, 5, 6, 7%. Other ones were down 1, 2, you know, 4, 5% as well. And so what that is, I guess, evidence of is just the maturity of the industry. And despite us kind of moving sideways and being in this choppy phase, there is a lot of great stuff happening. And that's really why we want to kick things off with the news here first. But I know that, you know, both myself and TiVo, and probably a lot of the listeners, you've been feeling the effects of this. I know, TiVo, we were bantering about this a little bit yesterday, just about the market conditions and kind of how things were moving sideways. And we're like, hey, like, what have you been looking into? And it's like, probably the same thing as you, you know?
I think that we talk about it amongst ourselves and then we bring it to you guys here. Like, for example, I know some of the projects you just rattled off, like Helium, HNT's one, right? And you've been talking about that specifically for, I know, inside of our community almost a month now, and we saw a decent move in it. But just because you're not in our community, which you can be, check the links below, doesn't mean we're not going to bring it to you as well. We're having the Helium guys on, I believe, next week. We're going to record an episode with them for one of the flagship episodes, and that'll air in a couple weeks. So, you know, we're always doing the research and trying to find, you know, the trends or the hot projects and deep dive for you. So you're definitely in the right place, even if you feel like you're, you know, your account's not as high as it was in March. As long as you're doing the work and doing the research, we're here to try and give you as much alpha as we can.
Yeah, I think that Helium podcast is going to be a really, really exciting one. And it's perfect timing. I mean, they've been on this tear. We brought them up inside of, you know, one of our communities, Crypt Nation, about 3 weeks ago. And we brought them up plenty of times before that, but we were putting out like a little alert saying, hey, man, we're really watching this thing and we're liking the way that it's looking. But man, I'm excited to be able to talk to the team and all the developments that they've made, because they're kind of at the front of the DePIN industry, the decentralized physical infrastructure sector, when it comes to blockchain tech. So that's going to be a killer interview. If you are interested in hearing more of what Helium has to say and kind of what they're doing over there, make sure you stick around, because again, a lot of great content coming everyone's way. But let's talk about the current state of the crypto market, right? We were talking about all the sideways chop. The big question on everyone's mind here is, when is this stuff going to end? And Van Eck actually comes out here, or came out here pretty recently, saying quite the bold prediction that they think that the selling is done. And there's a couple other metrics that are coinciding and kind of potentially agreeing with this. We showed some of the hidden bullish divergence and stuff like that last week. We want to revisit that this week as well once we get into the charts. But beyond that, there's also some pretty cool metrics when it comes to the Bitcoin ETF outflows that we want to get into and kind of see what's happened since this month has started, because we're actually seeing a taper off of outflows. There's less sellers, and we're also seeing that kind of agreement on the Bitcoin chart. So we're going to look into that. But before we do that, I know that we have a little bit of a clip that we want to roll in regards to that Van Eck clip.
Yeah. So the Van Eck head of digital assets had a good 5-minute segment the other day that I ran across, and just kind of explaining a lot of different things. Part of it was about Bitcoin miners. We won't dive in too deep to that, but I thought it was an interesting point he was making about them. But specifically, it was kind of talking about the price action and kind of the question of, hey, gold's at all-time highs, the dollar's weakening, you know, why is crypto lagging? So let's take a listen here.
We've seen gold make new incremental highs while the dollar's been making, you know, relative lows over the last few months. But one thing that's not participating in this move is Bitcoin right now. So, you know, it's had a series of lower highs, a series of lower lows. How do you, explain that disconnect between what gold's doing right now and the way that Bitcoin's been acting over the last couple months?
Yeah, so a few factors are at play. One is the unwind of various carry trades and growth, which has been struggling a little bit. And when you look at Bitcoin's correlation with the NASDAQ, it's at a 2-year high. It's well below the highs that we had in kind of late 2022, but it's a 2-year high. The second reason is there are forced sellers in the market. The German government has sold all of its Bitcoin, $2 billion worth. The U.S. government is selling Silk Road-related coins. There are two major bankruptcies where creditors have just been paid out. That's Mt. Gox and Genesis. So with all this forced selling behind us, and this is a typical seasonal pattern where Bitcoin tends to struggle in the kind of 1 to 3 months after the halving, which was in April, and right pre-election, as the market comes to grips with whatever candidate wins, we're in for four more years of reckless fiscal policy. The history is that Bitcoin really hits its stride at that point. So we're buyers here. We think it recovers.
So before I toss it to you on that, one thing I would like to notice, and I really just thought of it while I was listening to it again. This is CNBC, so this is national telecast broadcast. And what is he saying? He said about, I mean, off the top of my head, what was it, four or five different things, kind of explaining why he believes the price action is there, and then also why he's bullish and VanEck is bullish. And we've taken every single topic that he's mentioned, and you've heard it here first over probably the last 4 weeks, right? And so when we say you're early, it's still a time to be early in the crypto markets. I think that's a perfect example why. This guy is a top advisor at a top firm on a nationally televised event. And if you've been paying attention to our program for the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've covered each of those topics in depth with you. And so you're ahead of the curve when you're here. You're learning before the masses are. And I think that's pretty cool about what we're doing consistently here every week. But Brendan, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty telling. And the four things that stood out to me was all related to who was selling, right? We brought up all of those sellers, the U.S. government, the German government, the two bankruptcy proceedings from, I believe, Mt. Gox and FTX. And all of that is just about behind us. And he's spot on. He's exactly right that we have seen so many different sources trying to outflow of Bitcoin. I think you can even include the ETFs in there, right? There's been selling pressure from there too. And as we'll look at in just a second, even that's been tapering off. So not only do we have what seems to be the end of the US government, the German government, the Mt. Gox proceedings, the FTX proceedings, and potentially the end of these large Bitcoin outflows all coming to a close, there's a lot of positive action here. We are also, he mentioned the carry trades and what was happening with Japan. That seems to be kind of on the wrap up as well from a FUD perspective, from a fear perspective. And so a lot of these things that were holding Bitcoin and the crypto market down, they seem to be coming to a close. And so I think that he's right in the narrative of like, should crypto really be suppressed any longer? Should the selling be done? And I think that he's kind of spot on and accurate about that. Another one of the things that he mentioned, and I'm actually going to throw up the chart for this, is in regards to what was happening with the dollar and gold. He was saying, hey, if we take a look at the DXY is tanking. This is traditionally inversely related to Bitcoin here, and it is not even remotely uptrending. It is in a free fall. And this is something that when it historically tanks, and I have this long term, I'm not sure if I still have it on here. Maybe I can move us to like a weekly or a monthly chart and we can see this. But you can see that historically, when the DXY goes up, Bitcoin goes down. And when the DXY goes down, Bitcoin goes up. We can see this all the way back with the 2017 run. And then we can see this again with the 2021 as the market recovered in spring to summer of 2020. And so almost every single time that we've had a market top and market bottom, it is correlated to the DXY. And so what we're seeing is a fall in value of the US currency index, and gold's on the rise in like correlation to this. And so he made a great point, you know, why isn't Bitcoin going up? And I think it might just be lagging behind here, but I don't think it has to be that far behind. Now, another one of the cool things that I want to kind of share to everyone is what's happening with the Bitcoin ETF outflows, because that's something that we have seen over the course of this month just kind of trickle away and fall off. And so when we bring this up and when we look at this, which is going to be right here, I'm going to zoom us in even a little bit more to the last 3 months. And here we can see that at the beginning of the month, on the second, there was about $280 million in outflows. The next trading day, we had almost another $200 million in outflows. The next trading day was $150 million. One of the next trading days after that was around $182 million in outflows. But we've seen this kind of slowly tapering off from this trough that we saw of around $280 million going down into the 100s, the lower 100s, sub 100. And now, as of, you know, the last couple of days here, there's been selling pressure of, you know, 25 million. Here was 70 million. The other day was 30 million. But we're gradually seeing the ETF outflows also taper off. So this matches exactly what has happened since that, I guess you can call it the trade crash or the exchange crash that we saw with the Japanese markets. That was around the same time here. And a lot of those outflows that we saw out of the Bitcoin ETFs have drastically decreased from around almost $280, $300 million in outflows to now what we're seeing at around $30 million in outflows. So the outflows are tapering off. I think it's a good sign that, just like VanEck said, it looks like the selling pressure is going away. It looks like the mass amounts of selling that we've seen from all these different sources, they're wrapping up and they're done. And in relation to this, you know, if we go back to the Bitcoin chart, I mean, Bitcoin is squeezing here. We're squeezing, and we'll dive into this. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I just want to show that the bears are weakening and that the selling pressure is lowering. And we're seeing this on the indicators like the MACD and the RSI. On the RSI, we're seeing higher lows in this oversold territory. This means that upon this attempt to the downside, the bears were weaker than they were previously on the last downside move that they had. The same thing goes with the RSI or with the MACD over here. Same sort of thing. This is a higher low, which means that upon this attempt to the downside, the bears were once again weaker than they had previously been before. The sellers are weaker than they were the last time that they were driving prices down. And so we're seeing evidence of this, not only in what VanEck is saying on CNBC, we're seeing this on the Bitcoin ETF outflows chart, we're seeing this on the candle chart, the indicators, all these different metrics are saying, hey, the sellers and the bears are getting weaker. And there's all these different factors that are kind of fitting into this narrative. And so that's one of my favorite parts about being an analyst is we can look at the data from all these different things, fundamentals, charts, technicals, doesn't matter, you know, even ETF outflows. And when they all coincide, when they all agree with one another, that is where I think the beauty of all of this is. And so as the sellers get weaker, I think one of the really cool things that we can see is that the bulls are getting stronger, and the bulls are looking at this as just a straight up opportunity. And two of the big ones that we've seen here, TiVo, is that MicroStrategy, number one, is looking to raise $2 billion via Class A shares for additional Bitcoin purchases. Now, if you're not aware, MicroStrategy, led by Michael Saylor, is one of the largest Bitcoin holders in the world. They are a publicly traded stock company here in the States, and they have just been buying more Bitcoin and buying more Bitcoin, and they've just been doing this on repeat, buying the dips, and they're over here saying, man, we see a giant opportunity with Bitcoin below 60K, and we're going to be raising more money so that we can do what we've always done, not always done, but, you know, in the foreseeable past, what they've been doing, and that's been buying more Bitcoin. And so $2 billion is not a small amount. And then one of the other TradFi companies, publicly traded company here in the States, is Marathon, a giant mining company for Bitcoin, saying, hey, we want to raise $250 million so that we can also be buying more Bitcoin. They already currently hold around 20,000 Bitcoin on their balance sheet. And they're saying, hey, that's not enough. We want another $250 million worth of Bitcoin because they see it as relatively undervalued. Otherwise, they wouldn't be buying it. In fact, they would be doing the opposite. And we've seen miners sell in the past, but this is the opposite. This is not a time when VanEck is saying, oh, we're scared, we should be selling. We think that there's more selling pressure. They're saying the opposite. Marathon's coming out and saying, hey, we're not selling right now. In fact, we're looking at buying. MicroStrategy is coming out and saying, hey, we're not looking at selling here. We're also looking at buying more. And so what we're seeing is just this consensus and this agreement across the board that people are interested in buying. Big money, smart money, people that aren't everyday investors, not some person on a screen like me or TiVo, you know, coming in here. It's not us. This is like the whales of the industry that are coming in here and saying, man, we are so interested in buying here in all these different ways. So, I mean, TiVo, I view this as a huge green flag.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to pop up my sharing screen next because it's a perfect segue, right? We said the big whales are buying. Brendan just gave you the literal facts of what they're doing, but we'll take a look at this next fear greed index, the next chart we're going to show you, which you guys have all seen before if you're familiar with the show. Take a look. Right now, this I screenshotted this yesterday, but it was 30. We're in fear. We were in fear last week, whereas obviously last month, 74, we were in greed. And so it's about going and skating to where the puck is going to go, right? Not where the puck is. Obviously, in the last couple weeks here, there's been stuff that's been stacked up against us. Price action, selling of all sorts of types, whether it was the carry trade or anything else that we mentioned and Vanek mentioned. But right now is not necessarily, again, never financial advice personally, but you know, you want to be greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful, the old Warren Buffett quote. And so, again, we're just trying to give you guys as much information that we think is useful. And so after kind of showing you like, hey, there's people raising billions of dollars to go buy more of this stuff. And again, these aren't the normal everyday people. Well, we could almost call this, correct me if I'm wrong, Brendan, but we could call this the everyday people index.
Yeah, basically.
So you can see here we're at fear and then we scroll down and I thought this was a cool chart and this is going to lead us into the TA for the day with Brendan. I think this was the max or back to 2018. So here's the fear greed index values on the left and then the dates on the bottom here since 2018. I mean, when we hit that bloody Monday, I mean, we were at levels as low as 2022. The bloody Monday was lower than any time in the last year, which I thought is fascinating. Because then if you compare this to the Bitcoin price, like the price isn't back to, you know, the 2022 lows or the lows of even this year, right? The price is still quite elevated from that. So just kind of digesting all this information is something that has definitely helped me with my personal decisions in trading and investing of like, okay, like, all right, I'm here maybe being stronger than the average person, which again can bring benefits down the road, or if you know if it's the wrong decision, I guess it can be negative. But I like not being on the same side of the boat as everybody else personally.
Yeah. And you know, I think the chart that you have up right now, I believe the lowest point that we see there is around July, June of 2022. Let's play like a little game here. And I guess the audience can kind of play in on this as well. What do you think the price was the last time that we saw the fear and greed index that low in around June, July of 2022? We'll give you a moment. You can pause it here. You can come back to us. But I'm curious to see what everyone thinks. You know, was it $40,000? Was it $30,000? Was it $20,000? And I'm going to go ahead and give the answer. So if you need more time, pause. But the last time that we saw the fear and greed index this low, Bitcoin was right around the $20,000 area. And that's wild because now we're coming back and we're like, oh, this is such a bad pullback. We're so frustrated. Things aren't as good as we want. But the last time that we were this low, we were at $20,000. And this time we fell barely to $50,000. And we're in such a better situation despite being at that same level that we were last time.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it up one more time real quick because if you look at those, I mean, it's hard to even, it's like a bottom, right? Like anytime, if you bought at any point down here in the Fear Greed Index channel, like probably a good time to buy. Again, never personal financial advice, not a personal financial advisor, but I think, you know, if you check the price versus the Fear and Greed Index, you know, those are the time to you know, buy more of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And it just goes back to like the core principle of investing of buy low, sell high. You know, that's the most oversaid, probably overestimated thing ever, but it's true, right? When you're looking at opportunistic times in the market, you gave the Warren Buffett quote in relation to it. But man, there, you know, there are times and opportunities, and it's not when we're breaking out to new all-time highs. That's exciting for all the holders that are in it. Everyone loves that. But like, is that really the best time to buy? Not traditionally. And it's moves like this when we do see these multi-year lows on these different indicators. That's where I get truly interested in accumulating for the long term. So man, lots of stuff happening there. But Let's take a look at the charts and kind of see what's happening over here on Bitcoin and some of these altcoins that we mentioned earlier, because there actually is a squeeze that's happening on Bitcoin, which is something that I think everyone needs to be paying attention to. So this is where all of the major moving averages are, right? We have the 20, the 50, the 200, the 20 is the blue, the 50-day moving average is the red and pink, and the yellow is the 200-day moving average. And here we can see that Bitcoin has been consolidating beneath just about all of these, kind of rejecting that $62,000 price level. This is an area that was previously resistance, turned into support, back into resistance over here, and we're seeing Bitcoin consolidate beneath this. But what it's actually doing inside of this formation is seeing higher lows and lower highs, which is making it squeeze in this pennant-like formation down in here. Now, this is getting a lot of traders excited because with any kind of a squeeze, there's going to be opportunity. You know, it doesn't matter if we break up or down. I think people are ready to see this sideways choppy price action be over. And it looks like that it is coming to a close with the formation of this squeeze via symmetrical triangle or via a pennant, as some people like to call it. And so this is something that I'm watching out for pretty closely here. I think net positive mid and long term, Tebow, I'm still quite excited. Kind of looking back at the MACD and the RSI and things like that, we're seeing higher lows, we're seeing kind of bearish pressure weaken in the mid to long term time scale. And the short term, I think that we can still see some, you know, potentially more downside. But my net takeaway is that no matter what happens in the short term, I'm loving the way that the crypto markets are setting up for the mid to long term. And something drastic would have to happen for me to change that. But I just don't see a giant argument that would send Bitcoin into the next major bear market, or that would, you know, I don't see a great argument for Bitcoin going beneath, 30K or to the low 40s or anything like that. So again, maybe we get a little bit of price action down. We get that in a volatile market like Bitcoin, like the crypto markets. Not saying that it can't happen, but I'm more interested in the longing opportunity that we have that could come out of something like that. So pretty optimistic. I think the other kind of cool thing is that if we zoom out to a weekly chart here on Bitcoin, we can see that it's still flagging down in this parallel channel. That structure has still held. And I actually saw someone yesterday, someone came to me and said, hey, could this be a big old cup and handle on the weekly chart? And this is something that I hadn't thought about, something that I hadn't looked at. And, you know, we always like to say when in doubt, zoom out. And this is a great example of that, because a cup and handle is yet another bullish candle chart formation. And Bitcoin has painted quite the pretty one over here. And you can see that this starts from its previous high, rounds down to this nice little rounding bottom, goes up to our current high. And then the handle is actually this falling channel that we were just talking about. So yet another thing that I'm looking at the crypto markets and saying, hey, short term, do we have to go up? Not necessarily, but this is overall a very good long-term structural setup for Bitcoin. And if we even look at some of these altcoins that we mentioned, like Aave, which is breaking out over here to the highest point that it has been in quite a while. I'm going to switch us back to a daily chart for this one. This is the highest point that we have seen Aave since March of 2024, going on this beautiful tear from $76 up to where it's currently priced at $135, which is nearly 80%. Another one here, Tron, breaking out to the highest point that it has been since May of 2021. Going on a giant tear from this little local bottom up to this kind of current high, and it's up about 40% in the last 2 weeks. And so since it's cycle bottom, it's up way more than that. I think it's up, what is this, a couple hundred percent, about 250%. And then Helium, the most recent one that we've talked about, where in the last couple of weeks, I mean, even in the last couple of months, this is something that went on a run of 140%+. And this is the highest point that Helium hit just the other day since March of 2024 as well. So altcoins are still moving and there's still opportunity out there. And not everything is so, I guess, one directional. But the crypto markets are still exciting. There's a lot going on here. And man, we love bringing all of this to you. But Tebow, I mean, did I miss anything? Was there anything that stood out to you before we kind of begin to wrap up here?
No, I just always enjoy your insight and seeing it. And I think what caught my attention was when you're kind of showing the Bitcoin chart and you're like, hey, long, zoom out, you know, long term. Because I think we as the markets, not me and you, but we as the markets, we've talked about it before, is kind of there was that Donald Trump trade that went full blast on, you know, after the assassination attempt and the polling, and then Biden drops out and we have the new political kind of sphere that we're dealing with today. Again, the markets are just trying to figure out what's going on. I think the markets are not political. They're just trying to, they want to know, right? They want certainty. And so as we kind of go into this fall season, I think there's going to be a lot of uncertainty in the next couple months, might bring along some volatility, but yeah, you just got to kind of plan your trade and trade your plan. So I'm personally looking out long view past, you know, basically to the beginning, you know, the end of this year, beginning of next year, because I think these next couple months, while you do have to stay informed, I don't think you really want to put on or put off any crazy positions. I think you just got to, you know, look past towards the future of what's going to happen in these next couple months, because I don't think really anybody knows right now.
Yeah, man, I would agree. When in doubt, zoom out. Look at the long-term structure right now. Long-term uptrend is still holding. Long-term structure looks great. Long-term fundamentals, long-term technicals, you name it, the list goes on. Things are looking good for the crypto markets. And man, if you like this episode, everyone, all that we ask is that you consider hitting the like button, the subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment. We love hearing from you no matter what it says. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those other platforms, leave us a review. Again, we love being able to make this thing the best that we can possibly do it and bring you all the information literally as soon as it is coming out. So if you like the content, stick around. We got a lot more great stuff coming all of your way. But that's going to wrap us up for this week's episode. So thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.